Well, good morning, my friends. It is a delight to be with you here on the Lord's Day, in the Lord's house, with the Lord's body. And it is a delight to continue our series on joy on the other side as we practice psalms through the summer and sacraments through the summer. Our text for this morning is Psalm 13. I would invite you to follow along in your Bible, and if you do not have one, to grab a pew Bible. And if you are able, to please stand for the reading of God's Word. How long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Look and answer me, O Yahweh my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries rejoice that I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Yahweh because he has dealt bountifully with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you this morning to open your word to us, to speak to us, to show us what joy looks like on the other side. Lord, may you prompt our hearts to see where you have delivered us, where we can rejoice. And Lord, simultaneously, may you convict our hearts for where we have not rejoiced when we should have. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You remember that? Or maybe you didn't remember it that way. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Hee hee hee. I remember saying that countless times. I remember the vivid intrepidness I felt as I said it, time and time again. I said that childhood quip way too many times. And it worked. I believed it. Until I got to high school. And man, those kids were creative. They came up with some pretty great names, and they kind of hurt. Stones do hurt. But yesterday, as I was mowing the lawn, I encountered a far more pernicious and annoying and painful thing of the rock family that I find despicable. It's called the pebble. A pebble in my boot as I'm mowing the lawn yesterday. Pebbles are the worst. Have you ever had one in your boot, in your shoe? How long can you last? A minute? A couple seconds? An hour? A day? It is difficult to deal with pebbles. And there's something pernicious about a pebble. You see, stones can break your legs, break your bones, but pebbles can ruin your gait. A stone can invoke temporary fear, just as it's about to be thrown. But a pebble can instill a lasting hesitation. A stone can draw blood. But a pebble, in the wrong or right situation, can ruin your day. And it can steal your joy, as it did for me yesterday, mowing the lawn. In our text for today, the psalmist's situation is dire. His creator has forgotten him. His savior is hiding from him. He has to rely on what he knows will fail. And in his heart of hearts, he's suffering. But add to the mix his enemies, his adversaries who are afoot and at his heel, watching him closely. His situation is dire. His greatest concern is Yahweh. Where are you? Apparently, the Lord of Israel has forgotten the King of Israel. And there's something about his incredulity that makes sense. How does the King of Kings forget about a king he appointed? How does the God of battle lines of Israel forget about the shepherd boy who slayed a giant? How could Yahweh forget about him? To our psalmist, this isn't some minor infraction of innocuous forgetfulness. Yahweh isn't Bruce Almighty who's combing through all of his emails trying to answer all of the prayer requests, and somehow he forgets about King David or misses his email. No, the forgetfulness feels personal. It feels like he's been forlorn. Feels like Yahweh is hiding. Like he's hiding his face. Well, this forces the psalmist to do something that he doesn't want to do. He has to consult himself. He has to look inward. He has to look to himself. To his own soul. For wisdom. And he knows this isn't going to work. It's palpable in the text. His heart hurts. And it's more than sorrow. He's suffering. He knows this is not going to work. But the plot thickens, the situation worsens. Yahweh is not only absent, but his enemies and adversaries are manifestly present. And they could have the upper hand. They are claiming, they possibly could claim, that they've defeated him. They have defeated him. Is Yahweh going to allow such lies to occur? Are you going to let this happen? The anxiety is killing him. The situation has him shaking and tottering almost to the point of death. He's wavering emotionally. His situation has him to the point of sleeping the sleep of death. Yahweh isn't responding. It doesn't look like Yahweh's coming. Yet, Yet I have been through this before. I have endured situations like this. And my Savior came through. Like when I had to face the Philistine. Or when Saul tried to kill me. Or when my son conspired against me. I've been here before. That's right. And my Savior and my Lord pulled through. Our psalmist, in the nick of time, you might say, at the third time he recalls Yahweh's past deliverances. He remembers times when his Savior came through. He's been so good to me in the past. He has delivered me. So I will rejoice. I will sing because he has been good to me. He has treated me well. And in fact, technically, he has ripened me. He has ripened me for this moment. And so I will sing and I will rejoice for what he has done. I will not allow my situation to steal my joy. King David knew a thing or two about rocks and the rock family. He must have heard of the story of Moses striking the rock for water and the baptism and the living water that came through. Surely he knew that the law was written on stone. And of course, he slayed Goliath with that smooth stone. He knew a thing or two about rocks and how to deal with pebbles. In fact, he often referred to Yahweh as his rock, as we hear in 2 Samuel 22. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. King David knew a thing or two about seeking refuge in the rock. I don't think it's coincidental that the term that he uses for adversary in Psalm 13, our text this morning, is the exact same word for hard pebble. While he is trying to find his rock in times of trouble, hard pebbles are being a nuisance. They're messing up his gait. They're affecting his walk. They're troubling his joy. It's a battle of rocks, and at least right now, the hard pebbles seem to have the upper hand. David knows. He knows the rock who created the rock family. He knows the power behind stones that take down giants. And he knows who gives him the power to dodge stones thrown at him, like the ones he evaded from the son of Gera in 2 Samuel 16:6. He knows who owns rocks. He knows who created them. And he knows that true joy comes from the rock of ages. But nevertheless, there are rock battles. And his rock is battling this pebble. And because there is a battle, and because there is a fight, his joy takes time. He realizes that joy is built up over time as Yahweh delivers. He remembers. It takes time for him to remember. It took time for Yahweh to deliver him. It emerged upon reflection in times of trouble. And he also knows that true joy emerges in sticky situations. And what's fascinating and beautiful and glorious for us is he informs us that true joy takes expression in rejoicing and singing. His psalm reveals to us that true joy isn't some fleeting feeling that fluctuates and wavers. It can't be stolen by situations. It endures. It's not something that comes and goes with circumstances. It's permanent, or it can be. I also think it's not coincidental that this psalm, like many others, are dedicated to the choir master. In Hebrew, that word is the enduring singer. He dedicates his psalms, his songs, to the enduring singer. The enduring singer is the one who sings, "How long, O Lord? All the day long? How long?" Forever? And yet, nevertheless, despite my circumstances, I will rejoice. I will sing because you ripened me well. Because you have prepared me for a time such as this. Because you. Joy endures. Joy rejoices. Joy sings, despite, nevertheless. We don't accidentally fall into strong faith or sustained joy, my friends. It's not something we accidentally fall into by happenstance, by luck, by fortune. As Westminster reminds us, these are gifts that are strengthened and increased by other gifts. God gives us gifts to be strengthened by other gifts. He gives you salvation to be strengthened by the church. Virtues like faith and joy need the word. They need the sacraments. They need prayer. If we want more joy in our lives, we need to do like the psalmist. We have to remember what Yahweh has done for us. We have to take time and reflect and remember where he has saved us, what he has saved us from. We have to take the time to remember. We build up joy by remembering where he has delivered us. And we do this by hearing his word. This is our story. And we do this by partaking in the Lord's Supper, in Holy Communion. That is our story. To remember, we have to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Common sense backs it up as well as science. Can we truly remember Christ's work if we only attend church once a month and hear one sermon for an hour a month? That's 1 hour out of more than 700 hours in a month. Are you going to remember that story? Can we truly experience his joy if we only take communion 10 times a year? We have to see. We have to touch. We have to taste. We have to smell. Likewise, if we want more joy in our lives, we need to do like the psalmist and sing songs and psalms in times of trouble. When we sing songs and psalms and hymns, we roar for future promises. We hearken back to decrees and promises that he said long ago. And like the women in the cities of Israel when David arrived, we dispel evil and unclean spirits from our midst. For melodies and words to work on us, we have to sing them. But can we really mean them? Can they really mean something to us if we let others sing them while we hum them in the pew? Can they truly be inscribed on our hearts and our minds, our heads and our hands, if we only sing them on Sundays, here at church, and not at home, and not at work? Can they truly become a part of us? Joy takes time. Joy takes sacraments. My friends today, I don't know what you're struggling with, but do not let the pebble in your shoe affect your gait. Don't let your situation steal your joy. Come, eat, drink, and sing. Let us rejoice and remember. And may we all give our pebble to the Rock of Ages, who rolled away the stone of his tomb that tried to steal his joy. Let us pray. O Rock of Ages, you are living water. Lord, we ask you to open the floodgates of your sacraments and of your singing, that we may experience joy on the other side. that we may remember and recall as we take of your body and blood all of the things that you have done for us. On Calvary and yesterday, and what you will do today and tomorrow and for everlasting. May we find our joy in you. And may we take the time in the sacraments and the singing to enjoy it and to enjoy you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.